Inspire Eugene, episode 36.
Welcome to the Inspire Eugene podcast. Each week we showcase individuals with heartfelt and powerful messages to encourage you to take those first steps to unlock your very best work. Are you ready to get inspired? Here's your host, Brad McKinney.
Welcome to this episode of Inspire Eugene. I am Brad McKinney, and I have an awesome guest for you today. Her name is Kaz Rhodes, and she is the owner of Train Like You Mean It in Springfield, Oregon. And I had the opportunity to meet her actually on Facebook, and then I've also met her through Greeters, so I meet a lot of folks in Greeters too. So good morning or afternoon, Kaz. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Perfect. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your business?
Yeah, sure. My husband and I run the business together. We own and operate Train Like You Mean It out in Springfield. We have a passion for helping individuals to learn how to take personal responsibility for their own well-being should they find themselves in a dangerous or harmful situation. Huh? So we're not a traditional martial arts gym. We have been in business for 3 years now,
okay.
And a lot of what we do is in a group setting, that personal and individual self-defense training.
Awesome. And we're going to get a little bit more into the story and then the meat and potatoes about what kind of defense training that you do here in just a second, but I'd like to start with an inspirational quote or mantra that has most inspired you in your life.
I think the one that inspires me most and I like a lot of different quotes. Words are kind of my thing. The quote is a Teddy Roosevelt quote, and it's, do what you can with what you have where you are. Awesome. And I like that because it has a kind of a universal application to so many aspects of our lives, but also because it's a great self-defense quote. You really have to be able to do what you can where you are with what you have. And
awesome.
So that would be it.
So Train Like You Mean It is, it kind of looks like a normal martial arts gym, but as you were saying, it is a lot different. So can you talk a little bit about how you came to the opportunity of being in business and owning the Train Like You Mean It, and then what separates your martial arts studio apart from someone else's?
Sure. We both had a background in martial arts. Mm-hmm. Colin, of course, from childhood, me from childhood also, but he was far more involved in traditional martial arts than I was. Traditional art, martial arts are fantastic, mm-hmm. and we have a wealth of amazing facilities in Eugene and Springfield throughout mm-hmm. Lane County. The system that we use, which is the fight system, is more of a hybrid. Mm-hmm. It's not a sport-based system. Mm-hmm. It's not MMA, mm-hmm. and we're not worried about the form so much and ritual of mm-hmm. anything. We are very practical.
Okay.
So at the same time, it's not a stomp on your foot and yell kind of self-defense. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit more to it that does require practice. So the thing that makes the system different is that it's somewhat opportunistic in that it draws from a variety of different other systems mm-hmm. for what works in a self-defense context.
Awesome.
So we use Muay Thai. We use ground survival techniques and some jiu-jitsu techniques, except that we want to get off the ground. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be playing around on the ground.
No.
There's boxing applications. There are all kinds of different things from different systems that work very well and can be applied in a crisis situation or in a self-defense situation mm-hmm. For somebody who definitely is not an expert in each of those individual disciplines.
Yeah.
So it's very pragmatic and practical that way.
The couple times I've been into your studio here, I've seen several different trainings on how to disarm someone with a gun, it looked like, and then maybe how to disarm someone with a knife. So it does seem like your system is more tailored towards surviving an attack in the real world.
Right, okay. Right. And our clientele reflect that mm-hmm. as well. We have people from all walks of life, all ages, all body types. We cater to adults, although we do allow for girls 14 years and over mm-hmm. with our women's only class. But the techniques are reality based. Mm-hmm. So as I said, not form or sport. Mm-hmm. So obviously no one wants to be on the receiving end of an armed attack yes. or otherwise. And what we train is to give you options, tools in your toolbox to first be able to identify what is a threat, mm-hmm. what is a life and death situation as opposed to a robbery or whatever the context mm-hmm. is, to be able to respond accordingly to it and to know what you can and cannot do for yourself. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the next guy can do with his ninja skills. Mm-hmm. It matters what you can do from where you are in that moment. Okay. And each person has to discover that for themselves and be able to use that effectively.
The other thing I find interesting is that you work with law enforcement agencies to teach similar or the same techniques?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I work specifically with both the Eugene and Springfield PD for ALICE training, which is near and dear to my heart okay. as a mother and as a member of this community. And ALICE training is a system similar to run, hide, fight. Mm-hmm. It's response options to an active shooter situation or an armed intruder situation.
Okay.
And while we usually think of that in terms of schools mm-hmm. or public places, it has applications for all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my pleasure. I was just doing that yesterday with some of Lane County's finest, to be able to promote that mm-hmm. and promote those options. And for those that are able and want to develop their skills further mm-hmm. on a personal basis, then that obviously is the logical next step, is
yeah.
to come to us where they can now take it a step further in on their own behalf.
So when did you get the opportunity to open your own gym?
That was, 3 or 4 years ago
okay.
now.
Yeah.
We had been introduced to the fight system through another traditional martial arts facility
mm-hmm.
that no longer is authorized to teach the system.
Mm-hmm.
So we were introduced to the basics, and it became our passion.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to take it further from there and obviously couldn't given mm-hmm. the situation we were in. And so we pursued our own training directly with the head of the system, Mike Lee Kanarek. And that involved a lot of time mm-hmm. and effort and training. He's based out of Florida, so there was travel as well. And we really put our heart and soul into it. And the reward for that was that he asked us to open our own facility, and it just went from there.
Awesome.
And so it has done so well, and we are so excited. And this is, it's remarkable to be able to do what you love every day.
Absolutely. I know it's challenging starting, running, and growing a business. What has been the biggest challenge that you've faced in the process, and what did you learn from it?
Well, I operate on a fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants learning curve, it seems. And I think the biggest challenge for me business-wise is knowing how to best market what we do in a way that people can understand
mm-hmm.
and see the value of.
Mm-hmm.
We never, ever get people that say that what we do is not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
To the contrary, they think what we do is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's being able to have them understand where that priority needs to be for themselves
mm-hmm.
and to communicate that marketing-wise within the community
mm-hmm.
on a shoestring budget
yep,
because
yep.
we're a small business,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as much as we would love everybody to have access to everything for free, we also have to make a living.
Absolutely.
So the challenge probably is social media
mm-hmm.
in terms of the actual logistics of getting the word out there. We've definitely learned what doesn't work,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that is sort of my end of the business. So it's been my own challenge. There's a lot of what I do that I get from A to C,
mm-hmm.
but the amount of time and effort it takes me to do so in my sort of fly by the seat of your pants kind of way is probably a lot longer than it would be if I had the training or the resources that could show me how to do it more quickly.
I think whenever when I started marketing my business, it was that shiny object syndrome, right?
Yeah.
This might work, I'll do that. And
right.
then this might work, and I'll try that. And this might work, and I'll try that. So it's that bouncing around and touching each one
right.
never gave that depth
right.
of marketing.
Right. And that can be very frustrating because, you know, everybody goes by the theory, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you that that is not quite that simple.
You build it
you can
and
have
promote
the
it. Hopefully
best product. Yeah, you can have the best thing ever. We really do believe that what we have is of such great value.
Mm-hmm.
But if you cannot get that word out to people effectively, then you spend a lot of time talking to yourself.
Yeah.
So,
what would you do differently starting over again?
What would I do differently? I think I would invest in the time taken to learn the basics.
Gotcha.
And to establish those resources and contacts
mm-hmm.
that I need to do that. And that's what I'm trying to do right now. I'm kind of working backwards a little bit. But I've had great success in my efforts now
mm-hmm.
in the people that I'm meeting, in the contacts that I'm making, and being willing to take advice and learn
mm-hmm.
rather than just wing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a learning curve too. So, but yeah, I think that would be the big thing is
okay.
to make the effort in the training. And there are resources in town. You just have to find.
So, what resources have you found that have helped you out to get to that basics?
Well, you being one of them, and SCORE,
uh-huh.
of course. A lot of what I have sort of haphazardly done has been found through blogging,
mm-hmm.
Looking at things online. My computer is like my best friend and my worst enemy at the same time.
Yeah.
So I find it useful to learn from others' experience.
Mm-hmm.
We learned a lot about just the basics of operations of our own facility through our experience in other facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Things that, you know, you always say to yourself,
I
would never do that, and this will never happen.
Yeah.
And at the same time, with a few years under our belt,
mm-hmm.
we do have the perspective of understanding how businesses go down slippery slopes
mm-hmm.
and how they make the decisions that they do, because we're faced with those same questions. And it's very easy sometimes to compromise yourself or what your end goal is
mm-hmm.
in how you get there simply because where you are in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of beginning with the end in mind is very important to us, and that's what we're trying to focus on.
Do you have any past experiences, any other jobs that have helped you in running a business? Or did you just start out green and kind of learn and stumble along the way?
Yeah. Well, I've had a kind of winding path.
Mm-hmm.
I was usually in a position of management or admin
mm-hmm.
in anything I have done.
Awesome.
So in many respects, what I learned as I went along
mm-hmm.
was because of the demand needed by that job.
Mm-hmm.
So there are definitely aspects that I can draw from,
mm-hmm.
but once again, being self-taught in a lot of things may have worked over the years before things became so fast-paced technologically,
mm-hmm.
And that dates me a little bit, but it you definitely, things that I could do before and get away with
mm-hmm.
before, I can't now, simply because so much is online,
mm-hmm.
so much is demanding the contacts and the interactions in ways that they didn't before, so... you have to be adaptable.
Absolutely.
You really do.
Absolutely. I have a similar path. I had some management experience. I think that working in sort of that corporate kind of management helps with the process orientation, where you know that you need to build a process around something.
Right.
You might not know how to do that, but
right.
you know it needs a process.
Yeah.
And I think that really helped me, and it sounds like that admin management experience has been helpful for you as well.
Yeah, it definitely has. And I trained as an EMT. Mm-hmm. I have a background in teaching. I was a rehabilitative massage therapist in Canada, where it is part of the medical profession. Mm-hmm. And as an instructor, I had to get into the heads of the other adults. Mm-hmm. I was training and understand their perspective. Mm-hmm. And those skills also helped me to triage and to pick priorities and learn to communicate in a way that someone else can understand. Mm-hmm. And that is a bigger part of the business than what some might think. When you open a small business, mm-hmm. you need to be able to communicate with each person one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And that is another vital aspect of it.
Who's your ideal client? Who needs your services?
The ideal client for me is not the paranoid person mm-hmm. that's looking for a bad guy mm-hmm. around every corner or a conspiracy theorist. Those people worry me.
Yep.
The person and our ideal client, which is the majority of the people that we train here, mm-hmm. which is we're thankful for, is the individual who is aware of what is going on in this world. They're aware of the news. They're aware of the fact that you can't look at life through rose-tinted glasses.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to live in fear, but they do want to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So they are taking personal responsibility for their own well-being. It doesn't matter what their age is.
Mm-hmm.
They are coming in with the objective to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And the learning is where our job comes in. They are coming to us because they want to learn our system of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the only system out there? No. There's lots of different approaches. And other people training self-defense, we don't see as competitors. We
mm-hmm.
see them as allies in the same cause, just coming at it from a different
mm-hmm.
angle. So our clients, we want them to feel that. We want them to come in, know that they are, first of all, in a place where they are safe,
mm-hmm.
to be able to do and learn at their own pace, within their own physical capabilities. We're not trying to turn out a bunch of ninjas, you know, and we don't have delusions that every single person that walks through the door is going to have the same exact priorities that we do,
mm-hmm.
or the same perspective. But what we do look for is people that are not talking themselves out of it
mm-hmm.
or looking for ways for it not to work.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to be able to find their own why and come in and learn what they can do best for themselves.
Awesome. And I'm not sure if we touched on this earlier or not, but it's still a question in my mind, the difference between sports martial arts and kind of what you guys do. I know there's it's obvious that, I mean, when you watch it, it's different because there's not the lined up and, you know, kicking and or jujitsu or those sorts of things. It's more like you talked about situational, but if someone's going to go, I want to learn self-defense and maybe they signed up for that sports martial arts, what else can they get from your program that they're not going to get from the sports martial arts?
Right. So traditional martial arts teaches a lot of things and nicely from early age,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's available. You learn a code of honor, you learn discipline,
mm-hmm.
you learn respect and patience.
Mm-hmm.
And the sport aspect of it engages the competitive side and allows you to train. And there's so much more that people who are traditional martial artists could expand upon.
Mm-hmm.
For us, we are concerned about self-defense. So violence happens very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and it is a shock to people when it does happen. And anybody who has been on the receiving end of violence definitely understands that. And what we want to be able to do in establishing the tools in the toolbox is not to prolong the situation.
Mm-hmm.
We're not. You know, I'm going to hit you, and now you get to hit me, and then we'll break off, okay, and now we'll go again.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. We need to be able to turn the tables, end it, and get away.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the situation, you need to be able to handle yourself appropriately. We've just started a new women's self-defense class that is an offshoot of the fight system, and it's not reinventing the wheel by any means. The fight system is our core, but the realities of smaller women being in a clinch situation, for instance, that's a dangerous situation to be in. We need to be able to end it fast and get away.
Mm-hmm.
And while you do need to know what to do, you also need to know what to avoid. So a lot of
get over that fight or flight shock aspects of things.
And that's one of the things that we talk about in ALICE training too. The EPD talks about this all the time. The trainers at ALICE talk about it. Is that a lot of times we talk ourselves out of what is happening, even though, because it's our brains are trying to process the information. So that's where the fight, flight, or freeze comes in. You know, some of us have instincts right there, but that freeze happens quite often because your brain is just saying, what the heck is going on here? And trying to, you know, am I being punked? And is this a joke? Is there a film shoot? Anything, you know, and anything but the reality of what's going on. So we want you to have processed all that prior to by being willing to face the uglies, by knowing, at least in broad terms, what your options are, and then being able to respond appropriately in the moment.
Definitely a great program. I know just from what I've watched through the window here, it seems like you guys know what you're doing, and you're practicing things that are actually going to happen in the world. I think theory is great, but that repetition that happens, that when fight or flight happens, your automatic behavior takes over, and you have to have the tools in place to be able to automatically do those things, which means you've got to practice and train and prepare yourself for those moments. And I really enjoy watching the situational stuff, because I think the situational stuff is happens more than the theory stuff.
It really does. And in a technological world, you know, everybody has watched a YouTube or some kind of news article or whatever, and they all think in their minds, I would do this in this situation, or I would do that. And they have the sense that they would rise to it in the moment if necessary. And while I totally appreciate the idea of that, the reality is somewhat different. And you can understand something cognitively by reading about it, by seeing it, by understanding the mechanics of it. But to have that come out in a crisis moment, under duress, with adrenaline surging, is a whole other world. And so that's where the practice comes in. And it does take a commitment.
There is a reason the military practices for a really long time before they go into combat, because combat situations lead to that freeze or flight rather than moving forward. I watch my son wrestle. He wrestles for Vanita Wrestling Club, Fernridge Wrestling Club. And what you're talking about, where they engage and then break, and engage and then break. And I noticed that when he actually does a meet and he actually wrestles somebody for real, he has a hard time processing transitions from this move to this move to this move. So instead of just doing it, he just breaks like they did in practice, and because they haven't really done that real live wrestling per se in practice. So that's going to translate to wrestle break in the real thing. So I would imagine it's the same in self-defense. If you've only had that engage and break scenario, it's going to be really hard to transition through what's actually happening to you.
And a lot of people, I've had clients come in and say, you know, I'm not a violent person, and I don't want to become a violent person. And that's what I was talking about in being able to find your why. With women in particular, all I usually have to say is, okay, you're not defending yourself here. Your child is right behind you, and you are the only thing standing between your child and this attacker. And all of a sudden, there's this instant transformation, fire in their eyes, focus, and they are all about it. And for some, that is the why that they need. What most people that train with us, the why is a little broader, as mm-hmm. I said, about just being wanting to be able to handle themselves mm-hmm. regardless of the situation. And how you train matters. Mm-hmm. If one-day seminars, there's much debate about that. Mm-hmm. And one-day seminars, I think, are fantastic for informational and purposes and exposure.
Yeah.
So if a one-day seminar does nothing but make you think, then it is successful.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is not training, and it is not successful in that you have not necessarily learned anything. You've learned to think about it.
You haven't had the air quotes self-defense training.
Exactly.
Right?
and unfortunately, in this quick fix society, and people have priorities. I mean, we do not make the mistake of believing that everybody who walks through the door is going to make us their number one priority.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't judge them on what they have going on in their lives. And everybody has the priorities out of necessity, whether it be budget, whether it be time, mm-hmm. scheduling, whatever it is. So you have to find your own why and choose to make it a priority yourself. And with self-defense, we do get clients who have experienced violence. We have clients who have had some motivating incident that drives them through the door.
Mm-hmm.
We have others that look at the big picture of world events or things like that, and that's what draws them in. But really, they have to be able to commit to train,
mm-hmm.
or they're kidding themselves. And it really is one of those things that it's you get out of it what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we offer a one-week free trial. It's as much for people who come in to check out what we do, how we do it,
mm-hmm.
look at the scheduling, see how it fits into their lives, all the things that matter, and to decide whether it's the kind of training they can do.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it gives us the opportunity to help them figure that out,
mm-hmm.
because we really, it being our passion, invest all of ourselves in every class.
Mm-hmm.
And we would completely be drained if we put that kind of energy into trying to convince somebody of the validity of what we do every time they walked in the door, you know? So
what has you excited for the future in your business?
Well, it's kind of it's an interesting thing. I think perspectives are really changing, and that is very exciting to me. On the one hand, it's sad that what we do is necessary.
Yeah,
you know, it's a sign of the times. On the other hand, we are getting, as I said, people from all walks of life. These are not people that are all in their mid-20s in top physical shape who want to be ninjas and just want to fight. These are business people. They're people that are interested in improving themselves mm-hmm. in a way that makes sense to them. And there are changes happening as a result of societal events like the ALICE training, the security industry,
mm-hmm.
for instance. We liaison with Donovan Barrett of Defensive Firearms Instruction, and he trains civilians, but he also works with a lot of people that are getting into law enforcement or into security work. And with all that's going on with law enforcement, the security industry is bridging that gap in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And they require necessary skills like hand-to-hand combat on behalf of their employers who don't necessarily want to tase everybody that commits a foul, right? So they need to be able to protect themselves. Yep. Employers need people who are skilled in damage control
mm-hmm.
and non-permanent damage control, you know. So seeing these things happen, seeing attitudes change where people are realizing, okay, if a violent situation happens, law enforcement may be on their way, whether it's at a school or whether it's in the parking lot or at my home. But in the time between the incident taking place and them arriving, I'm on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I can personally do on my own behalf or to protect my family really does matter. And it's up to me to take the personal responsibility mm-hmm. to get those skills. And when we first started, even just 3 years ago, that was a harder sell.
Yeah.
And over the years, it's changing. Mm-hmm. People are now saying, okay, I have only so many hours in a day and I only have so much in my budget and all of this, but this needs to be a priority mm-hmm. because I don't ever want to find myself in this situation. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like insurance. Nobody ever wants to have to buy insurance. When you buy insurance, you take the necessary steps to get what you have to do in place so that you don't have to think about it every living minute of the day. Right. You don't sit there lying at home thinking, oh, please don't let there be a fire. Please don't let there be a mm-hmm. fire. You don't live paranoid. Mm-hmm. You live protected because of what you set up, right?
And I think you can live confidently, too, yes. because you can, you know you're going to build those tools
yes, it's
to
empowering.
Be able to handle a crisis situation.
Absolutely.
And that is empowering.
Absolutely.
So, to wrap things up here, I have a couple more questions. I get a lot of inspiration from the things that I read. What's right. the most inspirational book that you've read?
You know, I thought about things around inspiration mm-hmm. when we talked previously. And I would have to say, you know, I read a lot. And the book that made an impact on me long ago that I still have on my bookshelf is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People,
yeah,
Stephen Covey. Yeah. And one of the things I said to you that resonates with me still is that begin with the end in mind.
Yep.
And there are aspects of, you know, developing a thick skin.
Mm-hmm.
There are aspects of not taking everything personally mm-hmm. because people come from different contexts. But I think that he had a lot of good things to say that are sort of foundational concepts that are reiterated by other motivational mm-hmm. type speakers like John Maxwell has some fantastic books. And in the blogs that I read, because I get a lot of my mm-hmm. inspiration now from blog posts that other people make, there are other people that are reiterating those same mm-hmm. thoughts that Stephen Covey came up with or pushed
yep.
years ago. They probably came up with it before him even. But those same thoughts haven't really changed. They're kind of a current that you ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I find when I get overwhelmed by the my to-do list,
mm-hmm.
you know, we all have these endless things that
yeah,
we should
absolutely.
Be learning and doing in business. And when I get overwhelmed, that's kind of what I retreat to, is going back to the basics of why, what is my passion, why are we doing what we do,
mm-hmm.
and how do we frame ourselves to do that effectively without getting lost in the minutiae of detail.
That's why I like books and inspirational things. I read and listen to a lot of different things because of that. Sometimes you just can't see your own stuff, so you need to
right.
have someone tell you, hey, oh, maybe I am thinking about it too much.
And or, get
hey,
out of your own
yeah,
way.
Yeah, get out of my own way. Or, you know, there's a lot of them. I always go back to like the big three, right? Napoleon Hill, John Maxwell, mm-hmm. and then I love marketing, so I get a lot of inspiration from a lot of stuff that Seth Godin writes.
Oh, yes.
So next, is there a resource that you use in your business that allows you to be more productive?
A resource. That allows me to be more productive. Well, I guess I'm my own resource in so many ways. This is back to the fly by your seat of the pants thing. But I guess my basic resource. Well, I guess it stemmed from another blogger
mm-hmm.
that I've paid attention to. He runs a business called Morning Coach. And I still keep tabs on it and participate in it. And I actually met him through the Fight System,
awesome.
Although he's out in Florida. And he had a thing called you do your top six things
mm-hmm.
in the day. And I think another self-help guy called it eating the frog kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
I can't remember his name offhand.
Ken Blanchard, maybe, I
something,
think.
I can't remember. But I start my day early,
mm-hmm.
and I take that quiet time before the guys get up, and I make a list
mm-hmm.
of what my priorities are, and at the top of the list is the frog, the thing that I really, really have been trying to avoid doing, and do that first. And that list becomes my resource that day. And it's not, I'm sure, what you're looking for.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's your resource. I don't have any expectations of a resource. I actually am the old pen and paper to-do list.
Right.
And the only difference between my to-do list and probably everyone else's to-do list is I break it up into what I'm going to do today and what I'm going to do tomorrow. So, because
right.
the things that I'm doing today, something pops in.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I'm going to put that on my tomorrow to-do list. So,
right.
So I always have, so I don't have to think about it. Yeah. I just always have my lists transitioning yeah. from day to day to day to day. So.
And that is a constant in a lot of the sort of guru-inspired blogs and self-help type of things in promoting business and getting things done effectively is to have it written down in front of you. Mm-hmm. Don't just be an idea guy. There's a fount of idea guys that just want it to miraculously happen. And it doesn't work that way for me anyway.
I've tried the digital, I've tried the calendar, and
right.
I always, always, always come back to my pen and paper.
I have it in front of me at all times, absolutely.
So last question that I ask everyone is, if you were a superhero, what would be your superpower?
I can almost sense my husband laughing somewhere, wherever he is right now. Being a bit of a control freak, I would love to be able to help people find their why.
Okay.
So
nice.
I don't know what the superhero quality is there. I can't be in all places at one time. But to be able to communicate in such a way that helps others to determine what's most important to them, I think would be a gift.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it can apply on so many different levels.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, obviously, I'm thinking about, I want you to find your why so that you can defend yourself.
Yeah.
But
I think that happens in most everything that we do. If you're looking for your perfect career, right? You got to figure out what it is you want to do, and then why you want to do it.
Exactly.
Because if it's just about making money,
your
why is always going to suffer, and you're never going to be happy.
Yes, and then everybody's a threat, and everybody's a competitor, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So
who needs it?
Getting your why straight and aligning that with your what is always going to be a better
And you feel better.
Yeah.
You feel better. If you can wake up in the morning and feel really good about not only what you do, but how you're doing it, how you're going about it, and where you know you want to end up, I think that simplifies life on so many different levels. Otherwise, you're just running around, you know, batting at whatever's in front of you, and that's ineffective and overwhelming.
Yeah.
Who has the energy for that?
Absolutely.
Not me.
So if someone wanted to get in contact with your business or even take your new women's self-defense class, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, there are a couple of ways to do that. You can certainly look at our website at OregonSelfDefense.com. You can contact us via email at OregonSelfDefense@gmail.com. You can call directly, and I will be the one answering the phone at 541-914-4166. And you can text that as well. Between regular business hours.
Regular
would be nice.
Business hours. All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time today, Kaz, and talking to us about your business. I hope everyone listening has a great and inspired day.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's Inspire Eugene podcast interview. We are committed to bringing you great content each and every week. Please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and spread the word by sharing our page on Facebook. Have an inspired day, and we will see you next time.